New York becomes the first city in the country to pass a congestion pricing plan.
Across the country, cities large and small are having problems with traffic.
Plus, tension is simmering between U.S. and Ethiopian officials looking into the crash of Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302. And it's April 1st, which means, no fooling, the second quarter starts today. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we get into our big story of the morning, New York's decision to pass a first-in-the-country congestion pricing plan, here's what you missed overnight. The release of a preliminary report into what caused the crash of a Boeing 737 MAX plane is expected in a few days. But as we report today, tensions between the U.S. and Ethiopian officials are simmering. On the one side, U.S. investigators say Ethiopian authorities have been slow to provide data from black box recorders. On the other, Ethiopian officials are chafing at what they see as American efforts to exert control over the report. That's impeded the two sides from working together to find out what caused the crash that killed 157 people. Plus, over the weekend, Trump administration officials defended the president's plan to cut aid to three Central American countries, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. Now, the president says they're complicit in the flow of illegal migrants towards the U.S., but opponents say the threat to cut funding is counterproductive to stopping the migrants. According to the State Department, the $500 to $750 million that the U.S. sends each year is used to combat drug trafficking and gang violence, as well as to promote good governance. And two international elections over the weekend that are worth your attention. In Turkey, local elections dealt a blow to President Erdogan, whose party suffered losses, including in the capital, Ankara. That's led to a slide in the Turkish lira, which has been on a wild ride recently. And in Ukraine, a former comedian with no political experience is leading the race for president. This is seen as a backlash against the country's political elites. And here's an interesting stat for you. Just 9% of Ukrainians have confidence in their government. That's the lowest in the world. Now, our big story this morning, congestion pricing. In parts of New York City, it's sometimes faster to walk than to take the bus. So in order to alleviate congestion and to raise tax revenue, late on Sunday, New York became the first U.S. city to pass a congestion pricing plan. That means that by 2021 at the earliest, drivers will pay a fee to enter a zone in Manhattan's business district. And as our reporter Paul Berger told me, New York might be a harbinger as other cities look to cut down on traffic problems.
Congestion is a problem everywhere, and it's been growing for the last few years. When you have a booming economy, more people buy cars, more people drive cars, they go further, they order goods and services. We've also seen a rise of Uber and Lyft. So across the country, cities large and small are having problems with traffic. And so around the country, a number of cities are also looking at congestion pricing. There have been groups in San Francisco, Los Angeles, Chicago, and Boston that have all, you know, raised the idea of charging drivers to enter a very heavily congested part of the city.
I mean, how difficult will it be to get Americans to pay for these sorts of things?
While congestion pricing is still a new idea or a new concept to people in the US, the idea of paying for road usage is not new at all. You know, there are toll roads across the country. In many states, they already have lanes on highways that you can pay to use at congested parts of the day. You know, the idea being that you can get where you're going faster if you're willing to pay a fee. And so while an actual cordoned off area in a downtown core might be new, I think many Americans are already used to the idea that if they want to move faster, then some people will pay for that privilege.
In addition to that congestion pricing plan, New York on Sunday also was poised to become the second state after California to ban single-use plastic bags. You can find out more on WSJ.com. On to markets. The first quarter ended Friday, and despite global headwinds, the S&P 500 actually notched its best quarterly performance since 2009. Here is our reporter, Soumya Vaishampayan, on what's next.
Markets are looking upbeat as the second quarter kicks off. Asian stocks rallied on Monday, and U.S. stocks were also set to rise. The moves come after quite a standout start to the year. The S&P 500 surged 13% in the first 3 months of 2019, the biggest quarterly gain in nearly a decade. And that's despite all the worries out there, from slowing global growth to Brexit. So what's next for global investors? Up first are the ongoing trade talks between the U.S. and China. The two sides appear to make real progress during meetings in Beijing last week and hope to clinch a deal by the end of April.
Now the SCED. Here's what to look forward to later today. There's a lot of economic data out this week, including the jobs report on Friday. Today, we get manufacturing and retail sales. Already, numbers released earlier this morning in China showed that manufacturing activity expanded faster than had been expected. We'll get the U.S. figures later today, in addition to retail sales. There, we're expecting a muted increase, but anything less could add to investor concerns about a slowdown in the U.S. economy. And yes, there's yet another significant Brexit vote today in the UK Parliament. This one comes after British politicians rejected Prime Minister Theresa May's plan for a third time on Friday. And in another bit of deja vu, today they'll be voting on the same series of eight possible exit deals that they voted on last week, and also roundly rejected. The hope is that this time around, one option will emerge with a strong majority. Plus, could we be on track for one of the strongest spring housing markets in years? A number of economic factors that slowed sales last year have eased or even reversed in recent weeks. Mortgage rates are falling, home inventory is rising, and the pace of home price growth is slowing. That's led to a pickup in interest from buyers. And here's one more stat for you today. About 40% of annual home sales take place from March through June, making these months pivotal for the housing market each year. Finally, cold cuts. I've always been a fan of a turkey and cheese sandwich, but as we report today, Americans are falling out of love with prepackaged meat in favor of healthier options. That's led big brands like Hormel, Kraft, and Tyson to focus on fresher cuts, as well as to reformulate some of their ham and smoked turkey recipes. Tweet us your favorite cold cut combo at WSJ Podcasts. That's what's news from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening. Now get to work.